morning. Let us pray. I'm aware that breath has become somewhat of a contentious thing. And yet, God, I do feel you in my breath this morning as we inhale and as we exhale. You are the God of all space and time, and you are the God of this space and this time. And so we bring ourselves in these particular forms of worship to dwell with you, to abide with you, as you are always dwelling and abiding with us. Amen. I was inspired by a book I read recently in which the author wrote letters to saints of the church as a way of processing some of her own experiences. So I hope you don't mind that I've tried that out this morning as a way to process some of my thoughts and prayers and wonderings about Mary. I hope that it inspires you and brings you some comfort as we remember together the promise of God with us. Dear Mary, I hope you don't mind that I'm writing to you. I have a good feeling that you, along with the communion of saints, are open to hearing from us as we make our way in the world. I'm actually supposed to be writing a sermon about you right now, but I keep stopping and starting again. There's so much that has been written and studied about you. Did you know that? I wonder if you would cringe if you knew that the life you led in quiet humility had centuries and volumes of debates and books and sermons discussing it. So it makes it kind of hard to know where to begin or to end with a sermon about you. I have to admit, if I'm being totally honest, that I didn't think much of you or your experiences until I myself became a mother. It's not that I didn't care. I did think it wonderful that you were obedient, and I was taught to appreciate the sacrifices that you made. But really, I just didn't think about it much until I myself was pregnant during Advent a few years ago. I can remember reading scripture that year, hearing sermons and singing carols, particularly those that dripped with anticipation, and I felt a certain kindred spirit with you. I noticed, perhaps for the first time, how in addition to glorifying God for what you were asked to do, you also were described as feeling afraid, troubled, curious, confused, and yet still willing. You showed me how two things can be true, that I can feel anxious and curious and unsure, while also expressing and feeling praise and hope and gratitude. I'm writing to you, Mary, in a particular moment of weariness in our world and in our community, and I'm wondering what your life and example could show us about how to live with our current fears, our ambiguity for the future, our grief, and our restlessness. All through the Old Testament text, I've read about how God's presence cannot be contained, and how there are many ways that the people of God tried to create spaces in which they could meet with God, in spaces that were designed for that purpose. Before you, Mary, God dwelled among us, but then through you, God dwells in and through us. It's through your womb that God moved from tents and tabernacles and temples into a human body, vulnerable and in the flesh. In this sense, I see that all of God's action for and with Israel, the people of God, is culminated in your experience as God moves from heaven to earth. It's mind-boggling to think of a God who cannot be contained by time or space, then choosing to be contained in your womb. And perhaps equally wonderful to realize all that could and would happen through your acts of obedience and praise. When you said, "I am the Lord's servant, may your word to me be fulfilled," you, with God, opened up a new way for all of God's children to experience and know God with us. So from this, I'm newly aware of this contrast. That after thousands of years of God's people laboring to build temples, palaces, altars, tabernacles, towers, and tents, in which to commune with God, to try to give God some sort of home, God chose your womb in which to dwell. God chose to be born of dust, in the grime and grit of human birth, to be vulnerable, to be physical, to be present in a new way. For years, the people of God labored, and then God gave us rest by building God's own home in you. Through Jesus Christ in your womb, God invites our rest in an enduring home, not of our own making. In a time when we are all so weary, and in response to limitations we are still not really accustomed to, we are trying to create new ways of being together, new systems and structures, new modes of connection with God and with each other. And I'm left wondering if what we really need to do right now is to rest and remember that the kingdom God has built and is building is established forever and does not rely on me or the things that we can create. Your house and your kingdom will endure forever before me. Your throne will be established forever. When you said that, Mary, did you consider the way that that promise, or when those words were said, Mary, did you consider that that was fulfilled through your obedience? It's through your faithful model that I am encouraged in my own current weariness, my location, and my own family life. Your way of asking questions, expressing belief, and then submission to God's call on your life is something I aspire to imitate. Mary, I'm so appreciative of your model of what it looks like for a person to live with this deep devotion to God in their lives. And it's in bearing witness to your story and how you embody God that I'm challenged to evaluate how, when, and where I also fulfill the call of embodying Christ in my life. I think of the monastics, whose particular way of dedication to God also models for us a way to embody Christ. Earlier this year, I read about monasteries and the sort of call they profess to this kind of radical faithfulness that has stayed with me. And I read it now, again, with new perspective, seeing how you did this in a very particular way. It says, stay inside your commitments. Be faithful. Your place of work is a seminary. Your work is a sacrament. Your family is a monastery. Your home is a sanctuary. It's kind of funny. It says, stay inside them. Don't betray them. Learn what they are teaching you without constantly looking for life elsewhere and without constantly believing that God is elsewhere. We are all monks, and it matters not whether we are in a monastery or we are in the world as spouses, parents, friends, ministers in the church, teachers, doctors, nurses, laborers, artisans, social workers, bankers, economic advisors, salespersons, politicians, lawyers, mental health workers, contractors, or retirees. Each of us has our own monastic cell, and that cell can teach us what we need to know. Mary, I suppose the only thing remaining that I want to do is ask you to pray for us. I'm so inspired and convicted by how you bore Christ in your body with curiosity, belief, and submission. I pray that in our own weariness this Christmas, we recognize the rest that is given through God's established dwelling among us, and that we too will bear Christ in our bodies with praise and gratitude so faithfully as you have. Your friend, Jeanette.